Please be seated. Being surrounded by the choir again, maybe the new normal is at hand after all. We were just having a discussion, myself and the wardens, about what we did before the pandemic started. And we were arguing about, well, did we really do it that way, or did we do it that way? How many people were at this service? And it's hard to go back and remember what we did. Obviously, we don't have choir pews anymore. The seating arrangement's a little different. So that leads me to a couple of things that are kind of related and interrelated to talk with you briefly about this morning. We have been waiting for a while to get the updated pandemic restrictions from the diocese so we would know where we were allowed to go. So their new guideline is as many people as we can socially distance in the building. That goes for all churches. So with the configuration we have right now, using side pews and various things, we could get pretty close to 100, maybe 110 people. But that's going to change a little bit because we have put in place a contract to do the plaster and paint repairs that we need to do, that we approved at our vestry. So the 10 sections of the ceiling at the back and one section up here, you can see the crack there, those are the ones that the contractors say need to be done right now. So that's what we're going to do, and we'll continue to do this over years until everything has been rehabilitated. So that work will start on the 14th of March, and will take 3 to 4 weeks. There'll be a painter in here as well. The big thing is there will be scaffolding. That whole back area of the church will have scaffolding in it for a while. This area of the church will have scaffolding. And as much as when we were young, we might like to climb on the scaffolding and sit on the scaffolding, you're not allowed to. Nobody can sit on the scaffolding. So that's going to change our maximum attendance just about every Sunday for that 3 or 4 weeks. So you'll just have to keep an eye on your email, and we'll do the best we can to keep you up to date. We should always be able to have 50 to 60 people, even with the restrictions. A couple of things that come from that as well is the fact that we don't want to risk the organ, which is a great sentimental value and great financial value as well. So it will be covered and closed off for the whole time, which means Steve will be using the piano to lead worship. But the scaffolding will impinge on the choir seating, so they're going to have the area over by the Murray altar. But social distancing is still required, so you can't sit in the pews because we can only have 6 people. So the pews are going to come out, and we can put chairs in that area. Also, it gives us an opportunity to evaluate the possibility, don't jump too high, John, of John, our sound engineer who does the audio live stream, the potential for video live stream that we are investigating. We'll need a place to anchor the equipment and stuff, so we're going to look at that as well. Yeah, fun times. It'll change every day. So there will be 2 Ash Wednesday services on Wednesday. There's a protocol for how to impose ashes. So yes, we will have communion. We will have ashes at 10 a.m. and at 7 p.m. There will be music at both services, and we can have 60 people at each, but we're not going to ask anybody to sign up. We think we'll be comfortable in those areas, but you're all welcome to come. The diocese also sent out a protocol for the return to the Common Cup, which can be discussed. This was all sent out to you in an email at the end of last week. And there are a couple of other protocols that we can talk about as time goes on. For now, things are running very smoothly. We're just going to continue with what we have. So the most important thing is just be patient with us, because we're going to have to be very flexible with construction and changing understandings around the pandemic. We will do the best that we can. This world is a crazy place right now. Lots of things happening. Close to some people who are here in this church today. Let us just take a few moments of silent prayer before our God, before the Prince of Peace, before we start worship. As you are able, I invite you to stand. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Almighty God, To you all hearts are open, all desires known, and from you no secrets are hidden. Cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name, through Christ our Lord. Amen. Change us into his likeness from glory to glory. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Amen. Please be seated for the reading of Scripture.
A reading from the book of 2 Corinthians. Since then, we have such a hope. We act with great boldness. Not like Moses, who put a veil over his face to keep the people of Israel from gazing at the end of the glory that was being set aside. But their minds were hardened. Indeed, to this very day, when they hear the reading of the Old Covenant, that same veil is still there, since only Christ is set aside. Indeed, to this very day, whatever Moses has read, a veil lies over their minds. But when one turns to the Lord, the veil is removed. Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. And all of us, with unveiled faces, seeing the glory of the Lord as though reflected in a mirror, are being transformed into the same image, from one degree of glory to another, for this comes from the Lord, the Spirit. Therefore, since it is by God's mercy that we are engaged in this ministry, we do not lose heart. We have renounced the shameful things that one hides. We refuse to practice cunning or to falsify God's word. But by the open statement of the truth, we commend ourselves to the conscience of everyone in the sight of God. The word of the Lord.
Thank you, God.
Jesus Christ, according to Luke.
Glory to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Jesus took with him Peter and John and James, and went up on the mountain to pray. And while he was praying, the appearance of his face changed, and his clothes became dazzling white. Suddenly they saw two men, Moses and Elijah, talking to him. They appeared in glory and were speaking of his departure, which he was about to accomplish at Jerusalem. Now Peter and his companions were weighed down with sleep, but since they had stayed awake, they saw his glory and the two men who stood with him. Just as they were leaving him, Peter said to Jesus, "Master, it is good for us to be here. Let us make three dwellings, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah," not knowing what he said. While he was saying this, a cloud came and overshadowed them, and they were terrified as they entered the cloud. Then from the cloud came a voice that said, "This is my son, my chosen. Listen to him." When the voice had spoken, Jesus was found alone. And they kept silent, and in those days told no one of any of the things they had seen. The Gospel of Christ.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
May the words of my mouth and the meditation of all our hearts be now and always acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Please be seated. I forgot to mention one of the other new protocols from the diocese. We have, for the last 2 years, been limited to a 45-minute service, thereabouts. Now we can extend the service to 60 minutes, so I feel that we should devote those extra 15 minutes to a much longer sermon. Actually, I read something on Facebook this week that kind of made me think about this. It's terrible to listen to a long, boring sermon, and it's even worse when you realize that you are the one preaching it. So I heard something about music from behind me. Starting next week, the opening hymn will return in a procession, a very small one, and probably music will fill up the 15 minutes, which will likely make you all happy. What, I get the 15 minutes today? Oh, no, darn, it doesn't start till Wednesday, so I can't do that. The Transfiguration. I confess before I start preaching on the Transfiguration every time that I really don't understand our fascination with the Transfiguration. It's one of the few sets of readings that we now do twice every year. We have the Feast of the Transfiguration in August, and now we have it as the set of readings for the last Sunday after the Epiphany, which means that Ash Wednesday starts Lent, and we move through Lent to Holy Week and Easter. So, yeah, I can understand that part of it. It fits well to be in that understanding of preparing us for the understanding of the journey towards Easter with Jesus going up on the mount and being transfigured. It makes sense in some ways. But what does it mean? What does it, quote, do for us as we think about this story of the Transfiguration? But there's some clues as we look at the scriptures. The Transfiguration is recorded in Mark and Matthew and Luke. Somewhat similar. Luke is the only gospel that really makes the connection between the veil on Moses' face and when he came down after the Ten Commandments. His face shone so bright that people couldn't look at him, so he had a veil over his face. And Luke makes that connection, perhaps because he read 2 Corinthians, which would have been written before Luke's gospel. Just throw in the chronological thing there. That understanding, but it is important to see that from a theological understanding, that Moses, who brought the children of Israel out of slavery in Egypt, connected to Jesus, the Son of God, who will bring the children out of slavery to the Romans. So it talks about that in Luke being accomplished in Jerusalem, which is a foreshadowing of Jesus' resurrection. So all of those things work well. All of those things are part and parcel of the story, and we can understand it. But what meaning do we take away from the Transfiguration? So the story is that Jesus takes Peter, James, and John up the side of a mountain, and suddenly everything changes. And Moses and Elijah are there. Okay. And suddenly Jesus is transfigured before them. Okay. Doesn't say any more about Jesus remaining as Moses did after the Ten Commandments. We don't hear about Jesus remaining with that bright face that nobody could look at. But certainly it was an important thing. What did Peter do? Now we're getting into the part of the Transfiguration that I like. What did Peter do? Somebody explained to me why he wanted to build three shelters for these three people. Well, I don't know about you, but I've been known when I don't know what to just reach out and do the first thing that comes to mind, and it's usually wrong. So maybe just Peter was completely overwhelmed by all this. And he wanted to do something, and to preserve the moment, he was willing to build three shelters. I guess so he could sit down and hear these three people talking. I don't know. It's just that I want the story to have more. Then they go down the mountain, and either Jesus says or the disciples decide amongst themselves, depending on the different gospel, to not tell anybody. They must have told somebody sometime, somehow, somewhere, because it ended up in the Gospels. So that's the Transfiguration story. And I'm sure that people have preached much more eloquent sermons on it. It's just not something that resonates with me. I hope it resonates with you, and I'd be happy to have a discussion with you about any elements of it that you would like. But where I usually go is about us being transfigured by seeing the unveiled Jesus. How does Jesus change us? How does meeting Jesus anew? If you were one of the three, if you were with Peter instead of James and John, you and somebody else, your best friend were there, how would it change you? How does Jesus change your world today? How does your relationship with God open your eyes to what's going on? Well, for starters, in more than one place in the world, but one place in the world will we focus on right now, there is a war going on. If we were to transfigure our hearts, if we over the last 2,000 years as humanity had managed to come to a place where we had met Jesus, we had taken his message to heart, would there be a war? I scan read an article from Maclean's. It was linked to a site on the web this morning, talking about an author who took all the information from Google and what people search for. Well, if you read that list of things that we as humanity search for, you might wonder if we have been transfigured, if we have been changed. Now, that's all pretty overwhelming for me to stand here and say we need to go from here to there and we need to do it right now, and that's not possible. 2,000 years later, has the world substantially changed? So along the way, there's something that I have learned. We can only change the world one heart at a time. And each of us can only change one heart, and that is our own. So the message of this gospel for me is that I have to rework my life as I understand Jesus. And my message for you today is to suggest that maybe you might want to do some of that reworking on an ongoing basis based on your understanding of Jesus, of what it means to be a person of faith, of what kind of a world that we want to have. Now, when I open my heart to myself and when I'm completely honest, I don't like what I see. You're probably somewhat the same. We are human in spirit. We all have these needs and understandings and ideas and things that work and don't work. But instead of pointing fingers, I've always believed that the first thing that we need to do is look inside ourselves. To think about who we are, what we believe, how we live our lives. And without saying, oh, well, I'm not as bad as this person. Well, maybe I'm a little better than this person. To just be open, being changed every day. I read a couple of daily reflections. I don't know, a lot of people have different things that they read, but so often, first thing in the morning, I hear this call to change, this call to try and do better, to change my heart today, to change my heart tomorrow, to change my heart next week, next month, next year, and continue to grow. When there's difficulty in this world, our hearts come alongside those who are in difficulty. When there's difficulty at home, our hearts have to come alongside those who are in difficulty in our own community. It's changing ourselves. It's growing, learning in faith. And then being an example to others who can see us change and grow and do different things. The offertory hymn coming up in a while. When I heard it this morning, the 8:30 service from the BCP, the offertory hymn follows immediately after the homily, and we began with Shine, Jesus, Shine, and I go, oh, this doesn't fit with the homily, and then I said, yes, it does, because listen to the words. Remember, I talk about context all the time? Just because it's an up-tempo hymn doesn't mean that it doesn't have great meaning. Lord, the light of your life, shine into my heart. To change my heart, to transfigure my heart. The transfiguration may have taken place on that mountain 2,000 years ago. It takes place in our hearts today. Amen. As you're able, I invite you to stand. Let us now confess the faith of our baptism as we say, I believe in God, the Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, His only Son, our Lord. He was conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day He rose again. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. I invite you to take whatever position is comfortable for you in prayer, sitting, standing, or kneeling.
God of peace and justice, we pray for the people of Ukraine today. We pray for peace and the laying down of weapons. We pray for all those who fear for tomorrow, that your spirit of comfort would draw near to them. We pray for those with power over war or peace, for wisdom, discernment, and compassion to guide their decisions. Above all, we pray for your precious children at risk and in fear, that you would hold and protect them. We pray in the name of Jesus, the Prince of Peace. Amen. And in our own parish family, we pray for Ross Mislowski and his family. Ross has lost three cousins that were killed in fighting in the Ukraine. We have gathered here today in the company of the true God. Let us pray to him now, Lord. We ask for your blessing and anointing on all involved with mission and outreach, both here and abroad, among children and abroad, as they commit themselves to spreading the good news. You are the living God. Let your will be done in us. We pray for all who have influence and authority through their political standing, fame, or wealth. Speak into their hearts of righteousness and justice, integrity, and compassion. You are the living God. Let your will be done in us. We pray we may take seriously our responsibilities for nurturing our children and those who do not yet know God's love. Transform our living to reveal that love. You are the living God. Let your will be done in us. Lord, we call to mind those in need of comfort and reassurance, all in pain and mental anguish. We remember those in our own parish family, Dan Lemansky, Peter Giampa, Sylvia Brightwell, Chris Briglia, Stella Woodhouse, Anna Woodson, and Art Sinclair. We pray for the lapsed and the doubting and those who need your good news this week. You are the living God. Let your will be done in us. Have mercy on those who have recently died and those on that last journey now. Bring us all safely to heaven to live with you forever. You are the living God. Let your will be done in us. Lord, we thank you for the good news we have received. May we be ready to share our joy with others. Merciful Father, accept these prayers for the sake of your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.
My dear friends in Christ, God is steadfast in love. God is infinite in mercy. God welcomes sinners and invites us to this table. So let us now confess our sins, confident in God's forgiveness. Most merciful God, we confess that we have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed. By what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We are truly sorry that we humbly repent. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us and forgive us, that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways to the glory of your name. Amen. Almighty God, have mercy upon you, pardon and deliver you from all your sins, confirm and strengthen you in all goodness, and keep you in eternal life. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. We are slowly returning to normal, not yet as it concerns the peace. Social distancing is still required. For those in your bubble, you may shake hands and hug and all those things. For the rest of us, we share the peace with the smile of your eyes, the love of your heart. The peace of the Lord be always with you.
And also with you.
Thank you.
bring us to that radiant glory which we see in the transfigured face of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. The Lord be with you. And also with you. Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
Our thanks and praise.
It is right to give you thanks and praise, O Lord our God, sustainer of the universe. You are worthy of glory and praise. Glory to you forever. At your command, all things came to be. The vast expanse of interstellar space, galaxies, suns, the planets in their courses, and this fragile earth, our island home. By your will they were created and have their being. Glory to you forever. From the primal elements you brought forth the human race and blessed us with memory, reason, and skill. You made us the stewards of creation. Glory to you
forever.
Will we turn against you and betray your trust? And we turn against one another. Again and again you call us to return. Through the prophets and sages, you reveal your righteous law. In fullness of time, you sent your son, born of a woman, to be our savior. He was wounded for our transgressions and bruised for our iniquities. By his death, he opened to us the way of freedom and peace. Glory to you forever and ever. Therefore we praise you, joining with the heavenly chorus, with prophets, apostles, and martyrs, and with those in every generation who have looked to you in hope to proclaim with them your glory in their unending hymn. Holy, holy, holy Lord,
God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory, Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is the theme that comes in the name of the Lord, Hosanna in the highest.
Blessed are you, Lord, for sending us Jesus the Christ, who in the night he was handed over to suffering and death took bread, said the blessing, broke the bread, gave it to his friends, and said, take this and eat it. This is my body which is given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me. In the same way, after supper he took the cup of wine. He gave you thanks and said, drink this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Whenever you drink it, do this for the remembrance of me. Glory to you forever and ever. Gracious God, we recall the death of your Son, Jesus Christ. We proclaim his resurrection and ascension, and we look with expectation for his coming as Lord of all the nations. We who have been redeemed by him and made a new people by water and the Spirit now bring you these gifts. Send your Holy Spirit on us and upon this offering of your church that we who eat and drink at this holy table may share the divine life of Christ our Lord. Glory to you forever and ever. Pour out your Spirit upon the whole earth. Make it your new creation. Gather your church together from the ends of the earth into your kingdom where peace and justice are revealed. That we with all your people of every language, race, and nation may share the banquet you have promised through Christ, with Christ, and in Christ. All honor and glory are yours, creator of all. Glory to you forever and ever.
Amen.
And now as our Savior Christ has taught us, we are bold to say,
our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Save us from the time of trial and deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and glory are yours, now and forever. Amen.
We break this bread to share in the body of Christ.
We being many are one body, for we all share in one bread.
Just a reminder of our communion protocol during these times of restriction. You will stay where you are to receive communion. You will receive in one kind the bread only. I will approach you with the bread, offer you the wafer. Please take it on your hands. You may stand, sit, or kneel, whichever is most comfortable for you to receive communion. Once I've moved away from you, you can lower your mask and consume the wafer. We do have gluten-free. If that is something that you need, just ask and we can do that. And if you would prefer to receive a blessing instead of receiving communion, just cross your arms like this, and I would be happy to give you a blessing. These are the gifts of God for you, the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
Thank you.
Heavenly God, we see your glory in the face of Jesus Christ. May we who are partakers of his table reflect his life in word and deed, that all the world may know his power to change and to save. We ask this in his name. Amen. Glory to God, whose power in us can do infinitely more than we can ask or imagine. Glory to God from generation to generation, in the church and in Christ Jesus, forever and ever. Amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in the knowledge and love of God and of his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. And the blessing of God Almighty, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit be amongst us and remain with us this day and forevermore. Amen. Let us go in peace to love and serve the Lord and each other. Thanks be to God.